Good afternoon. I'd like to introduce our next speaker. This is Crystal Frank from the University of Alaska Fairbanks, and she's going to talk to you about learning the language of caribou.
Aloha. Shoji de ti John A. Ojri, ti ya Kenneth Ojri, ne Caroline Ojri, Shitsi, Shitsu, Johnny, Sarah Frank Ojri, Bashrank Oz at B. Taig with Anisha, the Hai Nan Saig with Jenny, the Ginjik Gwenzi Jadik of Wicked Wichtai, the Ginjik Vananda Jitla Nintai Trahela. My name is Crystal. My Indian name is Diti Jean E. Whoops. That was happening.
You're advancing the slides.
Yeah. My parents are Kenneth and Caroline Frank. I'm the great granddaughter of Johnny and Sarah Frank. And I'm obsessed with my grandfather. I am from Arctic Village in Vinitai, Alaska. I'm Deet Haigwichin. My clan is Nansai. I am a language learner. I am always trying to learn to write well in my language and understand it and its complexity. We will be strong as a people and as a nation, and we will bring this knowledge forward. In this presentation, I will talk about my experiences in learning the language of caribou. My focus is on following topics. First, how caribou communicate with each other. Second, how humans and caribou communicate. And finally, the successes and challenges I faced as a language learner. My great-grandfather once said, "In those days, all the fish and all the animals and big animals were human, and yet they all spoke one language," they say. "A human could talk back and forth to the fish and to the birds, and they, in turn, could talk to humans. In the beginning," they say, "there was really only one language." This quote indicates that at one time, humans spoke to animals. And this is our belief. I am from Arctic Village, Alaska, which is 200 miles north of the Arctic Circle, the northernmost Indian nation in the world, as it is known. And the only way to travel there is by boat or plane. My language is deep-rooted in my culture and my way of life and my entire being. Because of my language, I can see my culture. I can hear my grandfather's. I felt that my eyes have been opened to the many differences in how people talk and how they joke and how they were raised. I've learned knowledge in writing and listening to my language, and now almost becoming an expert translator. I remember many times when I was a child, my father would have me read small books in Gwich'in, and he always spoke to me in my language, and so did my mother. And I was told that by kindergarten, I was already a Gwich'in language reader and translator. Thanks to my parents, this created the foundation for my language learning and the skills I have today. It also helped me in my college career. When the caribou herd passes through Arctic Village, the people become very happy and excited. And this is our time to feast and to celebrate. If the caribou ever feel disrespected, they can change their migration pattern, which can be detrimental to my people. And this is why it's so important to have such high respect for animals and especially taboos. For us, our food depends on it. There is a huge risk that the animals might not give themselves to the hunters. Gwich'in have their own worldview on how they talk to animals. Stories are passed down to us through teachings and through repetition. Indigenous stories are healing. According to the book Narihinjik, which in worldviews believed to be a strong connection to land and animals, my late great-grandfather, Johnny Frank, once said, "Nobody knows how long there have been men on this earth, even the small animals that were alive back when there were people, they say. The wolverines, the wolves, and the brown bears were all people. Even the foxes were people. The fish in the water were people, they say. There are a lot of stories like that." This is the belief that we are all equal. We are people connected to land and animals. Gwich'in believed that long ago we were able to talk to animals, and we still hear them talking to us in Gwich'in in many of our traditional stories. To learn the language of caribou, you have to learn the stories. The stories teach respect, humor, traditional knowledge, and caribou, survival, and identity. Caribou communicate with the clicking of their feet, and they can hear it in long distances. That's how they know where each other is located. Their legs make a clicking sound. The clicking sound is not from their hooves, but rather from their ankles. Preorbital scent glands in the caribou head and shoulders are called chako. Also in the kidney fat and next to the first rib, also found in an open spot between the eye and the ear. They are about the size of a nickel. On a moose, they are a little less than the size of a quarter. Tarsal glands in the hoof are called jaquay guatsan. These hoof scent glands are known for their strong smell, but the caribou communicate with them. They use the scent to give warning to one another to help find another when separated. In the story Dinjik Vatsayha Dinthaja, which means moose and caribou, got into name calling and arguing. The name calling and humor describes your differences in scent glands. The following is a dialogue from the story of what they were saying to each other. And this was a story that was told to us by Trimble Gilbert. Caribou told moose, "You big nostril." Moose told caribou, "Your hoof stinks." And how they were name calling each other. Another example is how the cow caribou warned her yearling. She said, "Bundlik donk donkel," which means "watch out from those half hairless creatures." She meant humans. So it's funny how like even caribou have names for humans. Gwich'in learned to survive by watching caribou. And I think this part, what I've learned about that, was very interesting to me, and how my people like watch the animals to learn how to survive and other things. Certain Gwich'in people have medicine powers to communicate with caribou. There is a Gwich'in story of how a man became a caribou. We are connected spiritually to the caribou, in particular the porcupine caribou herd. Medicine men and women communicate with animals. They say their spirit is connected to an animal. When my great-grandfather passed away, there was an old wolf hanging around the community. The elders said that my grandfather was connected to wolf. That was his spirit helper. Other examples of how people communicate with animals in Gwich'in, hunters use a rattle made out of caribou hooves to get close to the caribou. The rattle is called Jaquaitzatif. By using this rattle, we make noises like caribou. We speak their language and impersonate them. That way, they are not afraid of us. Gwich'in people have so much knowledge about caribou. In these stories that I've been transcribing, this is always being emphasized. Gwich'in Vitsai Hakin Dai Varahnya. Gwich'in really know about caribou. This is a Gwich'in story about how a man became caribou. That's how much Gwich'in really know about caribou. In this story, they say that the reason why Gwich'in settled near Arctic Village is because of the caribou. They had a lot of knowledge about the caribou. If you see a lot of caribou fur in the river floating down, Gwich'in know there's a lot of caribou upstream. And one of my favorites is that Gwich'in know that the Northern Lights attract the caribou. They follow the caribou. That is where you look to find caribou, where the Northern Lights meet the land. One reason this is thought to be true is because the caribou hair has a lot of static electricity. A herd of caribou seen in the dark at a distance will appear blue because of the static. That is what we call the quake one. It helps the caribou to stay warm in freezing temperatures. So back to my success and challenges. Through this project, I didn't really know what my purpose was, and it was really hard for me to find in the beginning. I don't know how to ask the question. My father helped me, though, to realize after my doubts and confusion that I am actually a knowledge keeper and a helper. This is my place among my tribe for now. I am still learning about my language. I am not fluent, but I can understand it. I can hear and see my culture through my language. There are still so many things I don't understand as being Gwich'in. However, what I have learned gives me so much hope for my people. A lot of knowledge that I thought was lost is actually dormant and sleeping. We have to wake it up. Our language is a spirit too. I often thought that it wasn't right to be learning about hunting and butchering because I am a woman. My elders say young women are not allowed to touch or look at fresh meat. So my question is, how am I supposed to teach these values and these beliefs and these taboos and these stories if I don't, because it didn't really feel right for me. But what I come to realize is that time has changed. And women have become more educated, have become leaders, teachers, mentors, role models. And I think this gives me the audacity and even maybe the permission to teach these things, regardless of my gender. I do often feel alone in my efforts of learning my language and writing in my language. I felt alone because of my age. There is no one that can translate and transcribe that's my age. It's difficult to share with my peers what I've learned. They often say things like, they don't understand or they can't relate or I've never heard that before or who said that? I often get those kind of questions from people that are my age. I often feel like I'm the only one who can understand what is being said in these stories. I believe these stories are passed down for a reason. They were remembered for a reason. They finally made their way to a piece of paper. For me, that is extremely fascinating. I continue to wonder who's going to carry this book around when it is finished. Who's going to teach it and to have complete understanding of everything that's written in it. The only ones that will learn are the ones that will stop and listen. So in conclusion, these stories give you an idea of how my ancestors looked at the world. Animals have thoughts and feelings just like they're a living person. Humans are animals too. Elders say that it is important to respect animals. They teach us to not waste meat or trophy hunt. It is not our way of life. Not having respect for any animal we eat is also considered bad luck to Gwich'in. During this project, I've expanded my knowledge about my own culture, about my language. I learned that my late grandma, Maggie Roberts, was proficient in making bad luck go away from hunters by fixing their guns. Knowledge that I hold very precious and sacred. These are my beliefs, my way of life. Since my elders have passed on, I hold these knowledge and memories close to my heart. This is the kind of knowledge I will share with the younger women in my life. Our language has been an important aspect of our culture. We won't be able to know our culture without our language, and vice versa. Our language is a part of our every being. It's in the spirit of the land. It's in the spirit of the animals. And it's in the spirit of oral history. Kegwa, that the Creator made words. Words have a spirit. How are we to share with the next generation how our great-grandparents lived with complete understanding? A lot of meaning and understanding can be scrambled or even lost when it's translated into English. In this Caribou Project, there is so much knowledge and which in vocabulary on just caribou. Imagine how much is more in the other animals. It's the same with birds and fish. When learning about caribou, it's not just about what I'm going to eat and how I'm going to survive. It's about oral history, human humor, biology, the meaning of values, learning to hunt, learning the deep roots of my people, being connected to ancestors. I am connected to my grandfather when I listen to these stories. And he passed away like way before I was born. All this strengthens my identity also. It helps me to learn more about who I am and where I come from. What I also realize is that I have a duty to carry this knowledge on, to teach it and to share it. One day I will be a grandmother also. And one of our late grandfathers, David Salmon, used to tell my father, give this knowledge to someone who will listen and pass it on. I feel incredibly fortunate to have lived during this generation when my grandmothers, not very long ago, were living off the land and were sometimes nomadic. This wasn't very long ago that they used to do that, and I'm able to listen to their stories while they're still alive and see the kind of life that they lived. I grew up knowing them. I grew up hearing my language everywhere, even in my home by my parents. I fear that my children will not have the same experience. I often mourn for the past. I miss my grandfathers and my grandmothers. I miss how they prayed on our community. I miss how people used to visit and talk to each other in their language. Lucky for me, I can listen to these recordings and understand them. That is truly a blessing. I have a connection to them. I understand what they are trying to tell me. If we lose what our people speak, what our ancestors spoke, we can lose who we really are. I feel incredibly blessed to be a part of this project. It's given me a chance to be with my grandfathers through their stories. I always think of them when I'm transcribing. It gives me purpose and hope for our future generations. I also believe that I'm blessed in knowing my language to be able to read and write and hear my language with my entire being. And it is a part of me. Perhaps my grandfathers and grandmothers gave me this gift, and sometimes that's what I believe. Native people always say that our ancestors prayed for us. They prayed for our future. I hope in a big or small way we all contribute to strengthening our language and empowering our young people to carry this forward, to carry forth knowledge, and to carry all this beautiful culture and rich history into the next generation. Masi cho. Questions or comments?
What makes the porcupine terrible?
That'd be a great question. I'm not sure. That's just what the herd is called, I know that.
I just wondered if there was any connection to porcupines.
Porcupine River.
Yeah. Porcupine River is in our territory, so they may migrate from Porcupine River.
Oh, yeah.
They swim across the Porcupine River when they migrate.
Question in the back.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I've worked with speakers with the Beverly caribou bird, and their story is that the caribou come from the storms. I was wondering if there's a similar story for the Gwich'in. Where did the caribou come from?
I know that one particular story that I told about, well, there's this one story about like how the medicine man became a caribou. And that's how the people know about caribou, but I'm not sure where the caribou come from. It's probably a question for my dad. I think through all these stories, like it brought like the creation stories, they're so sacred and they make sense. They make my culture make sense. And there's a lot that I don't know and there's a lot that I'm still learning. So maybe that would be like a question I should take home and ask. Sorry, did I make you fall asleep? Oh, thank you.
Other questions?
Did anyone cry?
One more question. Yeah.
Just really more of a comment. I'm here with a number of people from Canada, and we're doing lots of work in rural revitalization, and we do a First Nations language revitalization conference every other summer, and we have youth that come to talk about their language journey. We also hold up our language champions, and I just really want to just really hold up my hands to you and say your story is amazing, and I'm so, so pleased to hear about what you're doing. You're an inspiration, and just carry on doing what you're doing, inspire other people, and thank you so much.
Thank you. Yeah, it's been a real challenge, you know, like, especially being, like, young and not knowing what my purpose was. Like, I was doing the work, and I was putting my headphones on and, like, transcribing, but I was thinking, like, why am I here? Why am I doing this? And it was really hard for me to find that. But then I started to realize, like, these stories brought me closer to my grandparents, and they're gone. They've been gone for a long time. And so that, for me, feels really special. And I'm able to learn things about my culture that I've never knew before.
Question
here? You don't have a question. I was just going to say, your people are honored and blessed to have someone like you, and I believe that you've been touched by the Creator and your ancestors. Hurry on your work. Hurry, hurry. Do more. Thank you.
Yes.
I just wanted to make a comment on I heard in my culture, because I'm from Alaska too, in my culture, I had a story about how in those days, animals and people used to talk to each other all the time. And they understood each other, and they but something happened. I just can't remember what it was. When something happened to make it no longer happen in our stories, you know, something drastic happened, and they couldn't understand each other anymore. And in the stories that they had, they would say the animals would be speaking, they could speak like humans, and they could change and then speak their own, a different language. It's like they, because I remember stories, this, like how they would say that the animal put on a hat, some kind of hat, to be a fox. Mm-hmm. And then they would take the fox hat off and talk to human beings. But I'm really happy that you're really proud of you, that you're really, you're so inspiring. You're really more than me. I'm glad you're doing what you're doing. Keep it up.
Thank you.
Are you in high school or college?
High school.
Way older than that. I got my master's degree.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
One more. It's not a question, it's a comment. Mm-hmm. I'm Plinkett from the Southern Yukon Territory. And a lot of the beliefs that you have spoken of are our beliefs too. We've always heard them. And we're told twice today, we'll be told three times tomorrow, and all that sort of thing. And I appreciate your talk about the caribou, because our younger daughter went to UAF. She came out of there with a wildlife management degree, and she worked for over 20 years with the porcupine herd and the 40 mile herd for a while, between Old Crow Dawson, Yellowknife, Fairbanks, and even up on the North Slope. I think she's probably gone to your town too. That was a long time ago. Thank you for your words and your story.
Thank you. Yeah.
Slightly boring and annoying linguistic question. When you transcribe, right? Do you mark low tones? Because indigenous people don't care about low tones. Caribous are so much more important. But when you, do you ever write low tones when you transcribe, because we linguists, we just like low tones.
No.
You don't?
You don't
okay.
Like low tones.
Okay. Thank you.
Think it has high tones and low tones.
Do you mark your tones? Mm-hmm. Some people do.
I'm very monotone.
Mild tone.
Okay, I think that we might have exhausted our questions, and thank you everybody for the session. And I believe that the masterclass sessions start at 4, so we still have some time to have a little breaking room.